Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to be looking at, and Sunday nights we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a message for us today. And we've been going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I mentioned to you Gehazi this morning, but actually it is the servant after Gehazi. Now, Gehazi is, of course, he is one that we are going to be studying later on and at some point, but he's the one that allowed the greed to get into his heart and caused him to have leprosy. And after he had the leprosy, then he went out from Elisha's presence. And so the servant we're looking at now is found here in 2 Kings chapter 6. He's a servant of Elisha that followed Gehazi, okay? And the Bible doesn't give us his name. The Bible just says he is a servant of Elisha. And so let's read here. We're going to start reading in verse 6, and we're going to read down, start reading verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8, down to verse 17. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they come by night and compass the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Yeah. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you now, we thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity that each one had tonight to come, and then for their desire to take advantage of it and have assembled here together this evening. And I just pray, God, that you would speak to each one of us, and God, that each one would leave here walking closer to you than what they were when they come in. Just pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So this Bible character we're looking at tonight is a servant of Elisha who learned to see what God wanted him to see. It was already what the man of God saw. It's what Elisha saw and what was available through faith for the servant to see. And can I tell you that God has things that not everyone sees, but God wants you to see. There's much more available to us than what many even realize when you're fighting battles or going through the different stages of life. God has things for us to see that all too many fail to see. And so now let's look here at the story here. Syria was at war with Israel. The king of Syria had set up to ambush the king of Israel. But the king of Israel turned away each time. Well, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, thought there had to be a spy in his own camp. But yet one of the servants knew about Elisha. He knew that he was a man of God and that he could actually even know what Ben-Hadad was talking about in his own bedchamber. Because God sees and knows everything. Ben-Hadad then goes after Elisha. In verse 15 to 17, and this is the message that we're looking at this evening. Now, Ben-Hadad sent all of a great host after Elisha. And in verse 15, the Bible says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early. So this servant of the man of God, the servant of Elisha, gets up early in the morning. He goes out, and a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? You could tell that this servant was very upset. His servant did not see what he could have saw through faith. So Elisha then, and he answered, fear not. Now, it didn't say that Elisha came out. Elisha already had faith to know what was taking place. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So Elisha and his servant, both men. Elisha was a prophet, but he was still a man. His servant was a man. The difference was Elisha knew God. The difference was Elisha knew how God worked. His servant still being trained, still being trained to understand what God had for them. They both were experiencing the same adversity. It's amazing to me how I deal with people all the time. The ministry is all about people. And I deal with people that go through the same adversity, some of the very same trials. And it amazes me how one can glorify God through it and the other just falls apart. And the difference is faith. The difference is a closer walk with God and being able to see things that the other cannot see, at least as of yet. And it's part of my ministry, it's part of my responsibility in serving the Lord, is to help people to see what God wants them to see. We have the Bible before us. You come at these preaching services so that I might be able to preach the Word of God to help you to see something that you might not have saw on your own. Amen? Yeah. It's in the Word of God, but sometimes we're blinded to it or we just don't have the understanding of the Scriptures. And without seeing what God wants us to see, it's going to be very difficult to face some of the struggles of life. So one looked at the visible, the other at the invisible. Only one, Elisha, saw both. He was aware of the physical, but he wasn't quite as concerned about the physical because he was also aware of the spiritual. The question tonight in studying this servant of the Lord, a servant of Elisha rather, is what do we see tonight? Do you have spiritual vision? Or do you just have physical vision? Can you see beyond the flesh? Can you see beyond the natural? Can you see beyond this physical to see that there is much more going on than just the physical? In our nation today, in our world today, there is much more going on than just what we see physically. There are spiritual battles, no doubt, and there are raging. And they're even going to become more intensified as we get closer to the end of time, as we get closer to the rapture of the church. We're experiencing that today. So what the servant saw was in verse 14 and 15. Therefore sent he horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So there's a great host of enemy soldiers circling the city. And when the servant of the man of God was risen and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what are we going to do? Surrounded on every side, no way out, no help available. That's what he saw. No doubt that would have led to fear. anxiety, discouragement. And that led to fear and anxiety and discouragement because he had limited vision. So many have limited vision because, again, all they're looking at is through the physical. Even the physical vision, I didn't realize it. I got glasses when I was 12 years old, and I was at school, and I was one that realized I was starting to have bad grades because I wanted to sit in the back and I couldn't see anything. And so the teacher realized that, and she brought me to the front of the class. Now, I might have been doing some other things, but anyway, I was brought to the front of the class. And at the front of the class, I was able to see what she was writing on the chalkboard. Well, she sent home to my parents that I needed to be checked out. My vision needed to be checked out because she didn't think I could see. My parents, I'm one of 13 children, so we didn't have a lot of extra money. It was actually my brother that took me to get my eyes checked and purchased my first pair of glasses. And I was 12 years old. And when I went into the doctor's office, they checked my sight and realized I needed glasses. They was able to give me some right then. And when I walked out, it was a new world. I didn't realize what I was not seeing. I thought everybody viewed the world like I viewed the world. I thought that everybody, when they looked at trees, it was just a big clump. When I walked out with glasses, can I tell you, I mean, you might have experienced the same thing. When you walk in, you think, whoa. And you looked at trees and you could see leaves. The trees actually had leaves and branches, and you could see the birds on the trees. It wasn't just some kind of a blur flying by. You could see the birds. I had no idea. You cannot miss what you've never experienced. I didn't know what I was missing. When I got back in school, I went to the back of the class once again. Amen. I could see now. Later on, of course, I had contacts, and then I ended up getting married, and both of us wore contacts, and they come out with this LASIK surgery. And I thought, what a deal, not being able to, not having to worry, mess with contacts and all the different things that come along with the contacts. And so me and my wife both, my wife had worse vision than I did. If she didn't know where her glasses was in the morning, she couldn't find them. She couldn't see to find her own glasses. She had to feel for them, you know, about that thick, you know. And so we both had LASIK surgery. It took her two different surgeries to get the right vision. And so it was amazing. Now I've got vision. I'm able to see without even having put glasses on, without having to do it. What a great deal that was. Until that was about 15 years ago. And about 2 years ago, I realized, and they told me that at the time, that you're going to slowly but surely lose your nearsightedness. And so a couple of years ago, I realized when people were looking at the same Bible that I was reading from, they was wondering if I had the King James Bible or not. Because I was kind of stubborn. You know, I just write bigger letters for my notes, but the Bible, I got the largest Bible that I could get, you know, the largest lettering of the Bible, but it still wasn't enough. And so I finally had to start, Brother Dave McCracken told me, he's changed my life. He said, wear one contact. He said, I've been doing it for years. Just put one contact in, and it's for reading, and it's a disposable contact, and I'm able to read with one eye and see you with the other eye. Amen. And it's for the last 2 years, every time I put in my contact, wherever I go out to speak, I put in one contact, I'm able to read and then see the people at the same time. What a blessing, what a blessing. So I don't know what comes from here. I don't know what I'll do after this. But the idea there is I could see things that I couldn't see before. Limited vision. If all we can see is the physical, when we face trials and temptations, we'll be devoured. Because Satan is the one who blinds us to the spiritual. And if he can blind you, he can blind you from ever getting saved. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, let me just write it down, but let me read it to you. Because it's very true. God reveals it to us. If we're blinded to the things of God, it's because the God of this world, the devil himself, is blinding you to that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Once you believe and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I tell you, he will help you to see what you can't see outside of salvation. That's good. That's really good. The servant did not consider God's presence. He did not consider God's promises. And he did not consider God's love for them. If you're blinded to those things, can I tell you that you will live a life of misery, a life of discouragement, a life of fear and worry and anxiety. But you don't have to. See, what Elisha saw by faith, verse 16, and he answered, fear not. Now, right out, he knew exactly what his servant saw and what he didn't see. Again, this is the first servant after Gehazi. This is his a servant in training. And so he said, he knows exactly what's going on. And he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha knew that he had God on his side. If God be for you, who can be against you? The thought of that is, if God's for you, you and God are a majority. It doesn't matter who's against you. Just make sure that God's for you. Elisha's faith in God allowed him to be aware of God's presence. He knew that God was for him. He was doing God's work. He was God's servant. He was aware of God's promises. And he was aware that God loved him. He would not allow anything to happen to him that God did not have a purpose and a plan for. God's love was that strong for Elisha. Being able to see God, he knew that they had more on their side. Psalms chapter 46. In Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says this. God wants us to know this. God is our refuge and strength. If you know the Lord as your Savior, if you know Jesus Christ as your shepherd, amen, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, if when you know that, will not we fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. That means stop and think about that. You don't have to fear when you know God. Wow. Hebrews in chapter 13. We find Hebrews, Paul bringing this truth to us. In Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let me just read this to you. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you have that, you can find contentment. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, if you know that you have God's help in his presence, you can find help. You can find that contentment. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we find here, Elisha's faith brought him peace. He said, fear not. Elisha's faith brought him confidence, more on our side. Elisha's faith brought him power. He prayed to God, and we find that God blinded the eyes of all of those soldiers that come against him. And eventually we find that they got the victory. Elisha's faith brought him victory. Listen to me, our faith in God will ultimately bring us the victory. And so, Elisha saw what the servant did not see. But the last point I want to make here tonight is, Elisha's desire was for his servant to see. Those who do see ought to tell those who do not. Amen. A person is blinded about eternity. A person is blinded as far as death, and they're afraid that because they don't know what's going to follow after death. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can help them see that the only true comfort in death is life. And if you know Jesus Christ, then you know that what you have in Christ, you have everlasting life to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you know that, help those that can't see. Because if they know that, if they can know that, it will bring a peace that passeth all understanding. Our eternal security of the believer will bring a peace to you that you can't find anywhere else. Those who do see ought to tell those who do not. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a difference that would have made. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Can you see tonight? That's the story. A little known Bible character that has much for us to learn. Do you just see the physical tonight? There's much more. There's much more that's going on than what the physical eye can see. There are spiritual battles going all around you. You're facing them every day, whether you realize it or not. They're going to intensify. And we need to be able to see what God wants us to see. What do you see tonight? If all you see the physical, you're going to lose the battle. We need to face our physical battles on a spiritual level. Amen? We can do that if we know the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.